Welcome to the program. We're Just Saying, everyone, a weekly radio show where we bring a little political spice out of Raleigh and your state government to our listening audience. I am Vicki Sawyer, and I'm serving as your dutiful and faithful senator for District 37, and will also be coming to a ballot near you in November. And today's show is going to be all about other folks who will also be on ballots in November. I'm incredibly excited to introduce you to these three candidates. At 11:15, we're going to have candidate Simone Pemberton. At 11:30, we're going to introduce you to candidate Dana Cottle Jones. And 11:45, we're going to be talking with Scott Lassiter. All three of these people are running for Senate districts. We're going to talk about their district. We're going to learn a little bit about them. And if you like them like I do, then you can help and support them in their upcoming campaign. But now is the time for all the prognosticators and all of political land to tell you what's going to happen in November. And we really did have some prognostication come out. John Locke polling data was out this week and is talking about all what they're going to think happens in the fall. And I'm going to tell you what, I am going to admit that my crystal ball is completely broken. I cannot tell you what's going to happen in any political election ever again. I didn't thought things that were going to happen on Tuesday did not. And I will be the first to admit that I was wrong on some of my thoughts and what I thought was going to happen. But that is the beauty of elections. So now we're dissecting what happened and the wins and the losses and then taking that data forward. And so that's what John Locke did in this poll. And you can always go out and find some great information on their website, the John Locke Foundation. And so that's where some of this is coming from. And a lot of it we kind of knew. I don't really think anything has changed that much from before the primary until now. And polls, I know I said it. I know a lot of you are probably saying it out there too. I don't think polls are accurate. And why do we talk about them? But for me, it's just a snapshot of time to get information from people who aren't within my political sphere or bubble. So I enjoy looking at them, but then I'll also just kind of throw them in the trash, because if we found out anything from Tuesday's election, polls don't necessarily mean that's what's going to happen at the ballot box. But right now we're looking at some things, and for president in North Carolina, from likely voters, the John Locke published poll says that Trump is actually ahead by 5%. Trump at 45% and Biden ringing in at 40%. And so it just seems like we are in take two of the same dance that we had 4 years ago. And that's what we have in North Carolina, guys. We are considered a swing state. That's probably some of the reasons why Trump has chosen two great North Carolinians to help lead the RNC with Michael Whatley and his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. Both of them are from North Carolina, and now they are at the top of the RNC. So we will see if this type of polling holds true. Interesting enough, we have talked a lot on this show about this Mark Robinson versus Josh Stein. And I promise you, by the time it's over, we're probably going to be tired of talking about it, because this is one of the hottest gubernatorial races in all of America. And I'm telling you, I think the money is coming in truckloads from all over the states and all over the United States. And so many people are watching this. And we've already seen, gosh, after Mark Robinson had won, our Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson won the primary, handedly, by the way, the next day, it was like slamming him left and right from every which way about things that he had said and actually didn't say, but was given credit for saying. And so there was some really good preview as to what kind of treatment the Republican nominee for the governor of North Carolina is going to get from certain media outlets. And it's not pretty. But despite all of that and all of the rhetoric out there, the man's up by five. This poll is showing that Mark Robinson is the Republican nominee, is at 44%. And Josh Stein, who's the Democrat nominee and the current attorney general, is at 39%. So it's close. There is a margin of error of maybe plus or minus 4% on this, or 4 points. So we're still within that margin of error. So it's anybody's ball game. I can imagine that it's going to get absolutely out of control. And this may be the time where you want to cut the cord if you don't want to. If you don't want to be inundated with TV commercials, because I just know it's coming. But it was interesting, something else that John Locke had put out. I thought that was really fascinating. We talk a lot about money and money and races and how much it costs. Well, they did this really cool breakdown for the governor's race in this primary, and it gave the price per vote. In other words, how much did a candidate spend for the number of votes that they got? And not surprisingly, our very conservative treasurer, Dale Falwell, he came in at less than $5 a vote for what he spent. Now, on the other side of that, we had a governor candidate named Bill Graham. He spent $28.18 per vote. Oh gosh, that's got to hurt, because you know what the poll, what the results were, and those were not great for either of those candidates. But definitely Treasurer Falwell out front on that one, because it was only $5 a vote. Mark Robinson, though, he was a little bit in between. So his campaign per vote spent about $9.42 per vote. I am very interested to see how that's going to translate into the fall, and see if we're going to have that number double or quadruple about how much a candidate has to spend per vote. Interesting enough, though, on the Democratic side, they do have listed what each candidate had spent. And the candidate, Josh Stein, spent $14.05 per vote. But also know that in this primary, independent voters overwhelmingly chose the Republican Party ballot. So you guys know, if you're registered independent and you walk into a primary in North Carolina, you can choose if you want to vote for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So arguably, so maybe a lot of these folks are Democrats and they were just voting in the Republican primary because they wanted to put their thumb on the scale for another candidate and play in our politics. But that was very interesting, the overwhelming amount of independent voters who pulled a Republican Party ballot in the primary, and will they vote Republican in the fall? So this is that broken crystal ball I'm talking about. I'm just going to be full of questions from here on out and no answers, because I just don't know. And a lot of those questions that I'm going to ask, I'm excited to invite right after the break, the Republican candidate out of the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, Simone Pemberton, and we are going to get to know her and learn about her candidacy and why she's running for the North Carolina State Senate. Please listen to us, and we'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to We're Just Saying. I am Senator Vicki Sawyer, and excited to have on the other line Simone Pemberton with me. But before we ask her on, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to those radio listeners as well as our live stream viewers. And again, you can stream us live on WSICnews.com and social media, YouTube, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. Simone, thank you so much for calling into the show, and I am so excited to introduce you to the world of North Carolina politics.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Yeah, sure. Well, you came very highly recommended from Senator Tom McGinnis, and he said, I need to get to know Simone. And so let me tell the listening audience a little bit, brag on you a little bit about your history. Totally taken off of your webpage. So anybody who wants to see that, go to electsimone.com. But you're born into a military family, learned the values of service and dedication early in life. You were a child of the armed forces. You went through different landscapes, diverse cultures, and a deep appreciation for community and unity. And you brought that into Fayetteville with you in 1995. And you had a corporate leadership career, gaining invaluable insights and skills. And then you actually started, gosh, you've been on so many boards and commissions, a chairwoman of Fayetteville Cumberland Human Relations Commission and the Fayetteville Cumberland Continuum of Care and City View News and Healing America. You're also a founder and CEO of a nonprofit, Brighter Still, a realtor. I'm exhausted reading all this. A realtor. You got to be exhausted doing it. I'm exhausted reading it. And you're also an author. Release Your Inner Champion, How to Break the Cycle of Destructive Thinking. You are a busy lady, Simone.
Well, when you put it all together like that, it definitely sounds very busy. I do stay busy, but it sounds a lot better when you read it.
Well, tell us, because now our listening audience, although we are on podcast and folks listen to us across the state, we primarily broadcast in the Charlotte area, Iredell, Cabarrus, Catawba. So tell us Piedmonters what your district is like out there in Fayetteville, and describe the kind of race that you're having coming up.
Yeah, so currently the seat is held by a Democrat, Val Applewhite, and she is very liberal, and the community is Fayetteville and Fort Bragg, which is now known as Fort Liberty, the military, one of the largest military bases here. The community typically or traditionally votes Democrat, but we have a lot of conservative Democrats that are here, which opens up a lot of opportunity for someone like me to come in, because I am the complete opposite of the incumbent. Now, I have to give a lot of credit to Senator Tom McGinnis, who covers District 21, which does take on a portion of Fayetteville, and he's done an amazing job. He and House Representative Diane Wheatley, both of them have done an amazing job for Fayetteville. So my journey is to join them in continuing that service to Fayetteville in a manner mm-hmm. that we absolutely need going forward.
Yeah, and thank you for mentioning those two fine representatives and your willingness to serve with them. But what made you want to serve? What was this? When did you wake up one morning and say, "I'm going to do this"? Or bring me through your thought process on how you decided to put your name on a ballot.
Sure. So I am actually an introvert, believe it or not. But so I prefer to be behind the scenes and kind of work with people that way. And I was perfectly content in doing that. So for about a decade, I was working behind the scenes, serving with different nonprofits and volunteering most of my time. And a lot of that came out of being laid off from a corporate position. Mm-hmm. And I was unemployed for about a year and a half. And to keep from being dejected and depressed because I couldn't find work, I decided to start volunteering. And that's where this whole journey started. So I was able to see the gaps that exist from the perspective of the agencies that are providing service, and then those who are receiving the service. And you can, if you're on both sides, you can actually see where a lot of the problems exist. And most of those are funding issues. Mm-hmm. But then there are other things that kind of pop up along the way that are nuances that you don't necessarily hear about unless you're kind of in the weeds with it. So in seeing that over the years, I knew that I needed to shift from where I was serving and go into another area of service. So I can address some of the issues that were happening, and that the only place that could happen was, you know, in a legislative level. So that's what kind of sparked me to go from my comfortable place. I'm doing air quotes, my comfortable place behind the scenes, and kind of just jump out and say, all right, let's just go for it. Fayetteville is an amazing city with a lot of potential, and we just need a push. We just need, you know, people that are in there that will advocate for us. And like I said, Tom and, Senator mm-hmm. McGinnis and Diane Wheatley have done an amazing job doing that. So I'm partnering with them and continuing that service.
Yeah.
There.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad to have you. You know, my male counterparts in the Senate, they don't ever like to say identity politics. So I'm not going to say I'm happy to have another woman. So I won't be an identity politician here, but I am happy to have another woman. So that's, I'll have to teach you how to speak out of both sides of your mouth when you get up here. I'm kidding. But, you know, you have a different race in front of you. You are challenging a Democrat seat, another lady who is, you know, serving in there now. She actually primaried a very dear friend of mine, Senator Kirk Devere, and beat him in that prior. So I've always been very interested in this seat. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, tell me, when you're looking at these next few months gearing up for this election, what is your path to victory? How are you going to be able to pull this out?
Well, one of the platforms that Val Applewhite ran on was the fact that she was a Black woman and Democrat. Mm-hmm. And of course, there was a lot of things behind the scenes, which I won't get into, that resulted in her even being being placed in that seat. Because we know even the community agrees that Kirk Devere was an amazing senator.
Yes.
She was good for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she ran on that. Now, I happen to be a female, and I happen to be a Black woman.
Uh-huh.
So I'm canceling out the Black card and the female card, and now we can run on policy. So if we look at policy and what she has done since she's been there over the last year and a half, there's nothing that she can give credit to.
Uh-huh.
What we can look at is how she has hurt Cumberland County in the last area or in the time that she's been there. Mm-hmm. And for example, she voted against the budget, which took money from, which would have, if it wasn't for Senator Tom McGinnis and Representative Diane Wheatley, it would have taken money from Fayetteville State, Methodist University, Cape Fear Valley. It was a total, and the list goes on, but it was about $127 million that she voted against Fayetteville and Cumberland County receiving. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. And then I can go down a list of different things that she's voted for and against that were not in the best interest of the community. Even though we do have a very Democrat area, they lean conservative. So a lot of what she supports is not that.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually am not only one that's connected to the community, they, you know, I'm not as popular as she is, but they see me in the streets, you know, they see me working beside them and advocating for them. They saw that years before I was ever running for office.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got that part, but then there's the other part where I actually am representing the values that they have. Mm-hmm. I just happen to have an R behind my name.
Yeah.
And that's the only difference. So one of the things that I have to do, and I'm actually happy to do, is to have more conversations with people one-on-one and in groups to show them that we're not necessarily that far apart.
Right.
And if you get the D and the R out of your mind and just listen and look at what you want to accomplish for yourselves and for the community over the next 5, 10, 20, 30 years, then I am actually the best candidate for that. She's not going to be able to get a lot done in the next term. On the other hand, I am, you know, I can go in there and get some things done, not just because of the R behind my name, but because I am able to collaborate. I also have the support of Senator Tom McGinnis and some others there. So that's the path to victory. It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more work than she's having to do, but that's okay. It's a fight that I'm quite willing to take and excited to take.
Well, thank you so much for what you just said. It just makes me more excited to watch you and your campaign and help where I can. And you're right. It does take someone who understands the community, who can break down barriers and think and work across the aisle and not just be this team football always, because I think what you're saying is absolutely correct. You do have to represent your constituency, and you do have to take those hard votes when you know that there's investments that can come from Raleigh to your community that will make your community better and brighter. And that's what I'm hearing from you and your voice. Mm-hmm. Now, we only have a couple minutes left here. So I do want to ask you, tell folks well how they can learn more about you on your social media, how they connect with you, and any last final words that you would like to bring to the listening audience.
Sure. So you can learn more about me at electsimone.com, and that's S-E-M-O-N-E. Now, if you spell it wrong, it'll still go to the right place.
I did that.
I for that, which is okay.
I did that, actually.
I figured that would happen, mm-hmm. So that's why I bought both of them. So, yes, it's electsimone.com, and you can find my social media there as well. It's probably the easiest way because some of the names are different. So just go there and search or click on the social media tabs, whichever one you want. We are on Facebook, X, YouTube. We're actually on TikTok, but there's not a link that's there for that. But we will add that as well. And I welcome emails. I welcome phone calls, anything. You know, I'm open to a conversation, and all that information is there on the website.
Well, Simone, you did a fabulous job on the radio show. Thank you so much for being here, and good luck on the trail. We'll be right back. Thank you. We'll be right back with candidate Dana Caudill Jones. Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is Senator Vicki Sawyer on We're Just Saying, and we're streaming live on WSICnews.com and social media, YouTube, Facebook, X, not Twitter, X, and LinkedIn. You can watch live or check out previous episodes all there. And thank you for our radio listeners as well as our live stream viewers, because you're in for a treat. We do have on the other line holding for us candidate Dana Caudill Jones. And before we introduce her to you, I kind of did a little bit of research, as you know, from my show, you know, about 9:30 this morning. But I have actually met Dana before and have attended a fundraiser and was completely impressed with her. Now, she is born and raised in Kernersville, North Carolina. And you can tell that she's Southern when she says born and raised in her bio, because that's what we do. Now, her father, Danny, started Caudill's Commercial Electric in Kernersville in 1973. And her mother, Charlene, is his partner. Dana joined the family business after graduating from High Point University. And today, her and her husband, David, lead the company, which has expanded considerably over the years. Now, not only does she have that, plus her family life, she has also been elected to many boards in that area, including the Kernersville Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Aldermen in Kernersville, and most closest to my heart is the Board of Education for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. Dana Caudill Jones, welcome to the radio show.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for that kind introduction.
Well, I know when folks get to know you like I have, they're going to be just as impressed. And I'm so excited to have another female possibly joining me in the Senate again. I know I'm not supposed to do identity politics, but here I am. I'm lonely up there. There's only a few of us running around, so I'm happy to have some more girl power up there. But tell me about your district. You know, this listening audience, again, is in the Charlotte region and north. You're not too far away from us. You're a fellow Piedmonter. But tell us about the district that you're running for.
Okay, so District 31 is a fabulous district, and certainly a place that many of your local listeners would want to make a day trip to. So in Forsyth County, we have all of the municipalities from Louisville to Tobaccoville, Rule Hall, Bethania, kind of wraps all the way to the other part of the county for Walkertown and Kernersville and Blues Creek. And then District 31 covers all of Stokes County. And Stokes County is amazing people in all of District 31, but just amazing landscape and great parks up in Stokes County. I would encourage people to take a day trip up to Hanging Rock State Park, beautiful facility. And then also on those hot June and July and August days, maybe take a little trip down the Dan River there in Stokes County. They've got some really fabulous things going on there.
Yeah, I grew up in that area like you did, and sometimes we take those like natural beauty for like granted, right? Because you just saw it is down the road, but you forget that so many people have moved into their area, that there is things like Old Salem in your district that's fantastic, and the Dan River and hanging in the park. So now tell me though, I gave the listeners a little bit of background on you, but tell us more about like your professional and personal background and what led you to run for the North Carolina State Senate.
Okay, so like you said, yes, I'm certainly Southern and grew up here in Kernersville, and my mom and dad started our company in 1973. This past October, we just celebrated 50 years in business for a small business that really believes in giving back to the community that has blessed us so much. And so my husband and I have been here working and running the business. I did graduate from High Point University and then came on into the family business shortly after that. And kind of got into politics around, 2003. Back in the early 2000s, most communities were working on a 2020 vision plan. And being a business owner, I was part of that and in the Chamber of Commerce, and realized that when certain plans came to the elected body, they weren't passed. They weren't voted on. They were just kind of put on the shelf. And so in 2003, I told my husband, I'm running for the local board. So I want to be there raising my hand and making a difference. And so I did that for 10 years. I do believe in self, maybe term limits. It was time for someone else to step in. David and I have one son, and he was in the public school district. And so being a mom and volunteering and working on the PTAs, as we do, I also saw an opportunity there in about 2015 that we really needed to have some oversight on what was happening in public schools. And so I ran at that time for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Board of Education and served there for 8 years.
Wow.
And my son's graduated, and I've come off that board. And, you know, in District 31, we've had, Vicki, as you know, we've had great representation in our state Senate with Senator Krawick, and she has served this district so well for over 10 years. And when she announced that she was going to retire, she and I had a conversation and just felt like, as a business owner, as a strong conservative woman, being involved in public education as a passion, that all of those things that I have done would position me well to go and serve the people in District 31 in Raleigh.
Yeah, well said. And I'm very excited that you have all of that professional acumen. And a little side note, my very first job ever was I worked as a peon for the superintendent of Winston-Salem Forsyth County School District. And it was the summer before I went to college, and I basically just shuffled papers the whole time. But I got to see the inside of a superintendent's office because that was my dream job, and it was Superintendent Coble at the time. But I digress. This is about you, not me, but I always have a fond memory of Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. Now, you're not just like going to be elected, right? I mean, you have an election in November and you have to have this campaign coming in front of you. Tell me what you are doing and how campaign life is and what your path for victory is going to be in the fall.
So I did not have a primary, but yes, I do have an opponent in November. And so, without having a primary, I have really just hit the ground running. So I've been listening out in District 31 at every type of an event you can be at to really hear from the constituents to know what are their concerns and what they're worried about. And I'm hearing back what probably most people are hearing across the state and across the nation, really. And people are concerned about inflation. They're certainly concerned about public schools and the education for their students. They're concerned about crime, some of the southern border, and wanting to, you know, overall say, hey, government, be effective and do your job, but stay out of kind of my everyday personal life. And that's a lot of what we're hearing. And so when I'm out and talking and meeting with people, I'm assuring them that, yes, I'm going to be a champion for student achievement in Raleigh, and I'm going to make sure that you continue to have rights as a parent. People love the opportunity scholarship that the General Assembly that you guys expanded. They want to see more of that, and they're telling me, hey, we want to think out of the box about things that are going to help prepare our students and our young people for generations to come. So those are the things that we're sitting down having, you know, kitchen table conversations in every place you can meet me. I'm going to talk to you, and I just want to know what their concerns are. So that's what we're doing. And I think the pathway to success is for people to meet you, to know that you're, you know, a real person, not just a name on a campaign sign at the busy intersection in their town, but to really get to know you and to know that you care and that you're a worker. You know, Ronald Reagan, one of my favorite quotes is, "There's no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit."
Right.
And I think that's so important. People right. just want to know that you're going to go roll up your sleeves and do the work.
Right. Well, you're going to fit well in the Senate then, and I'll tell you more about that. I joke about that because it is something that we all have to work as a team together. And one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have you on the radio show is because we do need to work as a team to make North Carolina better. And part of the professional acumen that I'm excited that you are going to bring to the North Carolina Senate is not also that day-to-day inside look into what a school board has to deal with, but also the day-to-day you're not really a small business anymore. I would consider you more of like a medium-sized or larger business, but the kind of regulatory burdens that can come out of Raleigh that can really hurt you as a small business owner. Have you seen some of that stuff in your day-to-day walk and hear from the other folks that that's happened to them as well?
Well, absolutely. They're, you know, anytime that that a regulation, it's and I'm not against having standards, right? I'm certainly not against that. But some of these regulations that we're seeing pushed down onto businesses, that cost has to go to someone, and it's going to the end user. And so, you know, what does that do to a business? Do you cut positions? Do you put people part time? It's, you know, it stifles growth. And so people want to see that go away. Again, I think what I hear from other business owners that I deal with is, you know, let me do my work, run my business, employ these folks, and grow the economy in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're wanting. And, you know, we're the backbone. I mean, small and medium-sized businesses certainly are the backbone still in our state. And I think being a small business owner, people tell me all the time, "What do you do?" And I said, "Whatever needs to be done."
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, I see the trash is overflowing right. in the break room, take it out.
That's
you know,
right.
I mean, it truly is whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
And part of that too is building a culture, I think, within your business that that you are a team. And so I think that makes such a difference when you are a candidate that you know, I worry about making the payroll.
Right.
And you know, you see how much taxes we're paying in.
Right.
And
right.
you know, all of those things add up, and you keep that in your mind as you're going to Raleigh.
Well, you have done an amazing job on the radio. We got about 20 seconds left. So I want you to tell folks how they can learn more about you and how they can help support your campaign.
Oh, that's great. Yes, you can find out all about me at DanaCaudlJones.com. And you can also find me very easily on all social media platforms. I'm on Facebook at Dana Caudle Jones for North Carolina Senate, and then on X and Instagram, and it's just at Caudle Jones.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for calling into the show. We look forward to working with you in the future. We'll be right back with Senate candidate Scott Lassiter. Welcome back to our final segment of We're Just Saying. I'm Senator Vicki Sawyer, and we're streaming live on WSICnews.com, social media like YouTube, Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. I want to thank those who are listening on the radio as well as our live stream viewers. We have a treat for everyone up here next. We have Scott Lassiter, who was also just came off of a really tough primary win out of the Wake County area. But before we invite him to the show, let me give you a little background. He is the Senate candidate for District 13. That is Wake, which means Raleigh, Charlotte. Yes, we're having a Wake County person on a Charlotte show. I get it. But anyway, so he is a lifelong Wake County resident. He also is a public school assistant principal. And he currently serves countywide as the soil and water for Wake County. He previously served 4 years on the Apex Town Council before his election to his current post of the Wake County Soil and Water District. He's been involved in all sorts of community events, and especially, well, not really events, but I'm stumbling over HOA president because, my Lord, that's I think that's way harder than being a senator is being HOA president. But I do want to welcome to the show Scott Lassiter. Scott, thank you for taking some time out on your Friday to introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Senator Sawyer, it's so wonderful to be here, and thanks for letting me on the airwaves in the great state of Mecklenburg.
You're welcome.
I really do love radio, and one of the things that I've enjoyed most sort of about my time in service, I was able to co-host the afternoon news on WPTF here in Raleigh for a few months until we started this campaign, and then, you know, there's some restrictions around what you can do on the public airwaves, but I love this format, and I'm so thankful to be here this afternoon, and you gave me a great introduction. I will say, you know, you say the HOA words, and that's almost like a swear word.
It is.
I need to preface that with saying we have a voluntary HOA.
Okay.
So we have a very limited government HOA. How about that? That's the only way I'd be president.
No, I was just saying it as a word of admiration, because what a thankless job. And, you know, you are with your friends and neighbors, and sometimes your neighbors don't become your unfriended as an HOA president. So
absolutely. Yeah, that prepared me for a primary.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. You had a pretty heavy primary that you just got out of. You had a candidate that you had won and actually handedly, but now you're ready to go into the fall. So tell us about what happened in the primary. And actually, before we do that, tell our listening audience about your district, because a lot of us charlatans don't really make it up to Wake County. So brag on your district a little bit before we get into the meats and potatoes.
Well, yes. It's a district I've lived in, or my family's lived in, for probably close to 100 years now. And Southern Wake County is really an interesting place. This district includes some areas of Apex, Cary, all of Fuquay, some of Holly Springs, Willow Springs. This is sort of outside the Beltline, Wake County, and the folks here are truly in a situation where they're trying to merge the sort of new growth, the new development, with a history and heritage, a heritage that goes back to agriculture, a heritage that goes back to sort of being sleepy suburban towns that are now seeing themselves become more than just bedroom communities. So it really is a dynamic district. That's a great way to describe it. We've got a highly educated population here, family income that is higher than the average in the state. This is a district that is just, you know, I'm so proud to call home, but I also recognize it has some growing pains, like any developing area. So that's sort of where we are. Think Southern Wake County.
Mm-hmm. Sounds very similar to the district that I represent. We're outside of the Beltline of the Charlotte City, but yet I do have that same. So we really do have kind of a similar district there. Now, we touched on a little bit of your professional background, but my goodness, another tough job, assistant principal to public school?
A public alternative middle school. And yes, I did pick that. I wasn't sent here as punishment.
Okay.
I've been a high school history teacher previously, middle school history, social studies teacher, and then went into administration, did night school at North Carolina Central, and was the assistant principal at a comprehensive large middle school in northern Wake County, in the Raleigh area. And then got an opportunity to make a career change, and we saw a need. The school system put out a sort of a proposal and was looking for administrators to come and found an alternative school for our students that had been recommended for suspension out of their regular middle schools across the whole county. Mm-hmm. So it is obviously a tough job, but it's a tremendously rewarding job. And we instill a lot of discipline. We instill a lot of hope, a lot of optimism. We give these students, we take away excuses, and really hold them to high expectations. That it's amazing to see some of these young people that have made some really poor decisions previously get it together, And I've been doing it long enough. This is my seventh year at this school, and we're starting to see them come back in their military uniforms. We're starting to see them come back and announce their acceptance to college. So I'm really glad I stuck with it. And you know, it is working, but it's a lot of common sense that goes into this. I wish I could tell you there was some secret. It's just hard work, and it's just expectations for these young people. And they really have my heart. So that's my professional background. And in the midst of that, I've stayed involved in public service. And that's really what I feel like, Senator Sawyer. Any of us that are doing these jobs for the right reason, we think of ourselves as public servants. I sort of cringe up when I hear the term politician, you know. and people say, well, you ran for public office, you were obviously a politician. I don't think about it.
I know, I always love those commercials that say, I'm not a politician. And I'm like, dude, as soon as you put your name on the ballot, you're a politician. I hate to tell you that.
Let me pretend, please.
I know. I'm kidding. I am right there with you. I'm even worse. I guess they can consider me an establishment politician. So we got to be careful with that.
Yeah. You never know what that really means.
No,
right? It means you've held office before. You're educated. You know, does that make you a staff? I don't know.
I don't know either.
You're reasonable.
Now, you talked about your background and that you do have this public servant's heart and that you now have put your name on the ballot for the North Carolina State Senate. But tell folks in the listening audience, this is a really tough district. I mean, it's a hard district. It could go either way. So tell folks about the political makeup of your district, and then also tell folks about your pathway to victory in the fall, if you could.
Sure. So it is a true toss-up district, and it's one of a handful of those. I feel good considering what the sort of macro-level political scene looks like in this country right now. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. But this is a district that has about 2,000 more Republicans than Democrats, but also has about 66,000 unaffiliated voters. Yeah. And those are folks that have sort of turned their back on politics as usual. They're not identifying with a particular party. They're hardworking people, career folks that are, like I say, are just sort of disgusted with the politics as usual. So tapping into that vote's extremely important. And I think from what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I've been dealing with on the ground, those are people that are tired of the divisive rhetoric. They're excited about problem sort of focused candidates that are there to sort of solve problems instead of just scream the loudest. Mm-hmm. And that's always difficult to get through a primary and maintain your electability with unaffiliated. So I'm proud of the race that I ran and was able to do that. You know, there's a tendency on both sides during a primary to sort of run to the extremes to shore up your base. And I was able to maintain a nuanced political campaign here where I can't say, Senator Sawyer, that one side is 100% right and the other side is 100% wrong. And I think you know that very well from representing a similar district. There is room in the middle that most of us spend most of our time in, and there's a lot of agreement. Now, there's some divisive issues and some issues that I am excited about taking a principled stand on, but I also understand that in my time in municipal government, in the public school system, people just want you to do the job at the end of the day, and the label matters a little less. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the political makeup there. We're really focused on using my strengths and playing to my strengths. I'm a believer in that. When it comes to education, you know, after Senator Tillman retired, there was there's a dearth in the educational administrators in the caucus. So I'm excited about what I can bring that perspective there. I'm excited about the sort of agricultural understanding from my time as a soil and water supervisor and the environmental understanding, and then that municipal sort of government experience and understanding how to govern in a growing area, which this district is, and so is the whole state. And it's a great problem to have. We're a wonderful state. We're attracting a lot of folks.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because I know that we hear a lot of growing pains about growth, but I'd rather have the growing pains than, you know, being faced like some other districts are in our area that are losing population. But we only have a few moments left. So I want folks to learn about you and tell them your webpage and your social medias, and how can they find more about you and help support your campaign?
Absolutely. And we're going to need it, frankly. So I encourage folks to visit VoteScottLassiter.com. We've got some really well-built-out policy positions there, a lot of focus on transparency and accountability when it comes to government money. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, just check out, obviously just put in Scott Lassiter there, or Scott Lassiter for NC Senate. You'll find those things. I'm always welcome a conversation. Would love to hear from folks. Part of being an educator is recognizing that there's always something to learn.
Yeah.
And I really do feel, you know, recognize I'm a lifelong learner. Okay. And recognize, you know, if I'm fortunate enough to serve in the Senate, as a freshman, there'll be an awful lot that I have to learn. So yeah. I'll be relying on you, Senator.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I look forward to working with you in the future. Thank you so much, Scott Lassiter, for calling in. And thank you, listening audience, for tuning in to We're Just Saying. We'll be back next week with some more exciting candidates. Have a great weekend.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.